I'd like to start off by just saying that it's an honor to be before you. I praise the Lord for this opportunity. I thank the pastor for allowing me to be here and preach. It's a good testament of our congregation being here on a Super Bowl night. And I'm pleased to see many of you. I thank you for your encouragement. I'd like to show my gratitude by allowing you to know who's going to win the game so we can go ahead and get that behind us. The person who's going to win the game, are you ready for it? We don't have drums here, so there's no drum roll. No. The person with the most points is going to win the nice game. Thank you very much. No, we don't do fortune telling here. What we do is truth telling, and it comes from the Word of God. So if you please turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we'll find our text for tonight. James chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The Word of God says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and in attire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for this privilege, for this honor. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit that dwells within me will be the teacher for this hour, and that your word will be the preacher. Lord, I thank you for this privilege. Please be with me now as I preach thy word and be a blessing and a help to both myself and this congregation. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We'll start by looking at verse 1. James refers to himself as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great thing? To be a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is significant because he's writing to those who are scattered abroad. Now, those who are scattered abroad were scattered for a very significant reason. It was because of their belief in Jesus Christ. It was the 12 tribes, which are the Hebrew children. And James makes it a point to say that I'm a servant of God and of Jesus Christ. See, the Hebrew children believed in Jehovah God, but not all of them had received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And he's talking to a specific group of believers who were persecuted for their belief in Jesus Christ and were scattered from their homeland. That word scattered means dispersion. It means like a shotgun with buckshot. When you shoot it, it spreads. And they had left the home that they knew and was in a foreign land, a foreign place. It's not like us saying, hey, I live in Fort Mill, but now I'm in Rock Hill. No, it's more than that. It's like us saying we live on the corner of Texas, and now we're over here on the other side of Mexico. It's a difference. They were in a place that was foreign to them. That place was Asia Minor, current-day Turkey. But as we look at James talking to fellow believers, we look at verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Imagine that these people who are persecuted for their belief, for their conviction and their belief and their faith in Jesus Christ, found themselves away from their home in a land foreign to them. Man, they should be discouraged. I would be. Everything they knew was gone. But you imagine all of them gathering around, looking for some kind of encouragement, some refreshing letter that would come. And they get this letter from James, and you can imagine all of them saying, "Come on, come on, gather around. James has sent us a letter." And then they read it. And James says, "Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." What? What do you mean by this, James? I can't believe this. We're facing this persecution, we're driven from our home, and we're supposed to count it all joy? Praise the Lord, it doesn't stop there. We know that word count is an accounting term, which means to put value on or to evaluate. All joy means happiness. And somehow we're supposed to take whatever we're going through. For them it was persecution. But the truth is, we're all facing something sometime. And we're supposed to take that and find joy in it. Amen. We are not God's scattered. We are God's scattered children. We are not God's sheltered children. What I mean is, even Christians fall in hard times. Even we have things like these tests and trials that comes from this word temptations that we have to face. We've all heard the expression that when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. I'd like to preach a sermon to you on tonight entitled "Learning to Love Your Lemons." It takes more than one ingredient to make lemonade from just a simple lemon. And it takes more than just divers temptations for us to be able to count them all joy. To truly appreciate our ingredients, we need to know what they are and what they can do. Ingredient number one, as we look here in verse 2, we all have lemons, and they're unique to us. I can say so-and-so has this going on, that so-and-so has this going on. And the truth is, like I said, we all have something going on. And it's unique to the individual. And we have to remember to be sensitive to that. Because although it doesn't affect us, it affects our brethren. Therefore, it affects us, or should. You're either coming out or currently in or fixing to go into a test, a trial, a tribulation. We all usually get to the point where we cry out and say, "God, why me? Why am I faced with this?" The truth is, that's a very accurate question. Now, we're not supposed to question God's will at all. Understand that. For His will is perfect. But it's for a reason. And for us to understand that reason, we need to know what God would have us to see through these trials. There is a reason for them. Romans 8:28 and 29 says, "And we know that all things work together for good." I've heard a lot of people have something bad going on. And people will quote this verse, and they'll just quote that much of it. And I'm thinking, that is so wrong. Because it's easier to say than it is to hear. And there's more to that verse than just that all things work together for good. Let me continue. "To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." There's a point There's a purpose, God's purpose, while we go through trials. And at the end of the day, he's trying to conform us into something better than we are. But again, these things are easier to say than it is to hear sometimes. God can allow us to have these tests just like he did with Abraham in Genesis 22. God tested Abraham's obedience. God allowed the three Hebrew children to go through their trial by fire, by faith, in Daniel chapter 3. James 1:13 tells us, "However, God does not tempt us. Let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth any man." But he can take that hedge of protection down like he did with Job. And Satan can try to get a hold of us. Now, I had trouble wrestling with this thought because I was thinking, you know, why would God let something like this happen? Well, I have to remember, Pastor talked about it this morning, we live in a sin-cursed world. I'm not part of this world. I'm part of the light that one day when the rapture comes or I go first, I'm going to be where my home is in heaven. I'm just passing through. And this sin-cursed world, we got this sin around us, but this is what it is. God can use these things to develop us as a believer, while Satan wants to use them to destroy us. God wants us to see these things for good, as Romans 8:28 said, and we know that these things are for good, that those who love the Lord, to love God, that are called according to his purpose, his reason. I'm going to go a little bit further, but if I could just encourage you in any way right now, understand, it's not about us. It's about God. God could be using these things to help us to see in our things that we need in our life or in others' lives. It could be to humble our spirit. It could be to strengthen our walk. It could be to rebuke our actions. Whatever it may be, it is to bring us closer to God. But in making lemonade, there is more than just one ingredient. We just have lemons right now. And I ask you, can you make lemonade with just lemons? Lemon. What I lack in wisdom, I try to make up for in simple illustrations. So this lemon here, if with just this lemon, can you make lemonade? Caleb? You can make lemonade with just this lemon? Probably not. Let me ask your teacher over here. Sam? Not very good. Maybe somebody a little bit more spiritual. Miss Joy. Can you make lemonade with just this lemon? But it says count on Joy to make, right? No, it doesn't. It says count it all joy when you face diverse temptations. And these lemons in our life. And just with one lemon, we can't simply make lemonade. But we can make lemon juice. Which I don't know about you. The last time I've just tried just lemon. It's got that lemon shine, Pastor Novlin. That's a good juicy lemon too. And by the way, lemons do come in different sizes, just like trials do. And they're different for different ones. But, okay, I didn't have that in my notes. I probably shouldn't have did that. Oh, my point is this. Don't ever just drink lemon juice in front of people and think you can keep on talking. It's sour. It gave me a not a very good feeling. These temptations in our life do too. So we need something else to go with this. Ingredient number two. Let's look here in verse 3. Verse 3 says in the book of James, knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience. So let's look at our next ingredient, water. Water helps to dilute the situation so it seems a little bit more tolerable. And it helps make that seem a little bit better. But there's another ingredient, so I'll wait for that before I make another mistake. But when I drink water, I think of refreshing purity. Nothing quite quenches your thirst like water. You can drink other things, but it'll just make you thirsty for water. I think the same about faith. My trust in God. It is faith that brings us to our salvation in Jesus. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace through faith we are saved. And it is faith that keeps our focus on Jesus and doing the things that we're supposed to. The Bible defines faith as this in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Corinthians 2:5-7 says, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, for we're to walk by faith, not by sight. Seeing is not always believing, but knowing God's presence is a sign of faith. Remember Peter when he was walking on the water? When his eyes was on Jesus, he had all the confidence in the world. He had the faith to get out and get on that water. But as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, he started to doubt. See, when he had faith, he could float. When he had doubt, he started to drown. And it all took a boisterous wind, the Bible says, which I translate in Jerry terms, oh boy, that's a stressful wind coming. And things like that happens in our life. Things come up and sidetracks us. If we can't have faith, then when we really need, see, it's easy for me to come up here and talk to you and say, I have all the faith in the world. Because I've been studying all week. I'm here in front of my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm in a comfortable place, and things seem to be going well. And I can have all the faith. But the truth is, I got to have that same faith when things get tough. First Peter 1:7 tells us that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, Brother Dennis over there, he's so encouraging. I see him coming in the door, and every time he always greets me with, I'm like, hey, Dennis, how you doing? Just one day closer. One day closer. Amen. My son Grant often will refer to something in the future, graduating high school or something he dreams about, you know, in the future, going to college, whatever it is. And he'll say, wouldn't that be great? And then he'll say, but it'd be better if Jesus comes first. And right then I get, he draws me out and says, amen, brother. And what a wonderful reminder. George Mueller, the old English evangelist, once said, the only way to learn strong faith is to endure great trials. And it's these trials that test our faith. Abraham showed strong faith when he was asked to sacrifice Isaac. You imagine being asked to sacrifice your own son? Now, these things become real when I had Grant. But I could not imagine him having to go through that process. And Abraham went up there to make a sacrifice, had Isaac to carry the logs that they were going to burn offering or on his back. And he went all the way through, I believe, to the point where he had the sword, the knife, and I don't believe it was one of his little buck pocket knives. I believe it was like a machete. Because they had to be they had to be able to cut stuff with and shrubs and skin things. So it was sharp, it was long. And I believe he got all the way back to the point he was about to come down on Isaac, and the angel of the Lord said, "Ho!" And we saw Abraham's obedience there. But before that, we saw the remark he made to the two fellas he left at the bottom of the hill. He said, "Me and the lad will return." You see, he had faith that God was going to let him come to the top of that mountain and bring his son back down. And that's the kind of faith I pray that I may have. The three Hebrew children were about to be put into the fire to burn to their deaths. And the king says, "You know, is your God going to do something about it?" And I love the answer they put here. They said, "He is able." They didn't know if he was going to do it or not. They didn't know what his will was, but they knew one thing, that God's will was going to be done, and that he is able. Matthew 15, Jesus heals the Gentile woman's daughter. A woman comes up to him wanting Jesus to heal her daughter. Jesus tells her that he came for the children of Israel. And she says, "Does not even the dogs eat from the master's table?" And Jesus replied, "Not has he ever seen such great faith." See, she knew where to go. She knew where the answer was. What is faith? Faith is knowing that he is God. And that he is able to have what we need. There's a purpose, a reason for everything we got going on. We are going to have tests in our life, and it is faith that will help us with them. But this is just a second ingredient, and although it makes the tests a little bit more better to have this joy, we need one other thing to sweeten this up a little bit. Ingredient number three, and I have... Pastor, don't be mad I took to your sugar packets, but I know you were on a diet, so you're probably doing sweet and low, right? So, oh, I'm sorry, Miss Joy. Count on joy. So what is this sugar? Ingredient number three. Let's read 3 and 4 of James here. So knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So when you add sugar to something bitter, it changes the taste from something sour and unpleasant to something a little bit sweet and a little bit more enjoyable. Patience is a good thing to have, to process in this process, especially when hard times fall upon us. This word patience holds the same meaning as long-suffering, which along with faith too are both two of the 9 fruits of the Spirit found in Galatians 5:22. It is also a word indicating a time of waiting calmly. When you have children, and Lisa will tell you when you have a wife named, she has a husband named Jerry, thank you, that patience has a big role in our relationship and in our family. So to wait calmly, of course we have, and probably will again, if God does not call us home first, we'll go through something that required this faith to help build this patience. And this patience is to wait on the Lord. Psalms 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Here in verse 4, we see that James tells the purpose of patience. "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire," that word means complete, "wanting nothing, or in other words, lacking anything. All three of these words tells me one thing. Be satisfied, be satisfied, be satisfied. Because the Lord is in control. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get to that place that no matter the test, we could trust in the truth, which is God. Or whatever the situation, we could be satisfied in our Savior. To be in a place in our lives where God's will is our want. Job is a great example of this. Job, a man which God himself referred to as a servant, had some real hard trials in his life, being really blessed with family, friends, fame, fortune, basically lost it all. With a wife that was left behind telling him to basically curse God and die, and friends telling him that obviously he did something wrong and he needed to repent before the Lord. However, God wanted Job to see only one thing through this whole experience, and that was him. Job seen God and God's deity during his despair. See, it was Job's faith in God that allowed him to have the patience for God's will to be done. Job waited on God's will to be done, and then God blessed him more than before. James 5:11 tells us, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender of tender mercy." Amen. It also brings us hope. And not only so, in Romans 5:3-4 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." So, we have all these ingredients here. And right now we just got a mixture of lemon juice, which would be our trials, tests that we go through in life. Water that makes it seem a little bit more palatable. We have faith that helps us get through those tests. Then we got this patience that really truly helps us to understand and wait on God, but yet it still won't taste right. The last step to this lemonade we're making is just simply stir. Now make sure I don't spill that. So, in verse 5, what do we have here? It says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So wisdom, godly wisdom, is what helps us put all this together. Wisdom is what helps put all this stuff together. The right amount, the right techniques, the right methods, and this is what we had to do when we stirred this lemonade. James 5 commands us to have wisdom, and if we don't have it, we need to ask him for it. The word "let" is an imperative verb meaning to do just what it says. Ask for it. Making it more of a command rather than a choice. Now, the use of the word "I" at the beginning of the verse implies that not everyone has this wisdom or understanding, but that God will give it to all men who ask, and do so without reproach. So we see that we are told to ask, and that God is able to give it to us. Let us look a little bit more at this wisdom that James speaks of. Someone has once said that knowledge is the ability to take things apart, while wisdom is the ability to put them back together again. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. James could have asked God for anything. He could have asked him for wealth. He could have asked him for strength. Or he could have asked him just to remove these obstacles, these tests altogether. But wealth without wisdom is a rich fool. Strength without wisdom is a strong fool. And to ask God to remove something without seeing His full purpose is just foolish. This is not regular wisdom. It is godly wisdom, which in James 3:17 tells us, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. God's wisdom is perfect, and He knows when to give it to us and how much that we need, and He knows what we're facing and when to give it to us. And we need to remember to ask Him for it. This is important, to have this wisdom and ask God for it, to be able to stir the ingredients and to make a once sour juice into a sweet joy. I'll bring you all the way to this part in closing, that we're supposed to count it all joy when we go through diverse temptations. But there's a process, just like making a cup of lemonade. There's ingredients we must learn to appreciate and to put in our own lives. We must learn how to have this faith that worketh patience. And this patience, with the right use of godly wisdom we ask for, will help us to find this joy. James 1:12, find yourself there. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. I encourage you with this. We have something to look forward to in this process. We all have lemons or trials in our life. I've asked my wife's permission to share this briefly with you. And I know that the book of James says not to be a respecter of persons, but I am a respecter of time. In 2008, we've had our son, Grant. And shortly after, we were having some complications in our life, in our family. And I'll say this with all respect to each and every one of you. This is my lemon. This is our lemon. But we all have them. Lisa was diagnosed with being bipolar, which, for those who don't know, is basically a chemical imbalance that, as we go like this, if something makes us upset, we go down. If something makes us happy, we go up. She doesn't have that ability to be able to stay like that. She's either way up or way down. But this affects her mood. This affects our household. And although she was the one that was diagnosed with, I want you to understand something. It's the family that has this disorder. Amen. If you go into a situation, a trial in your life, and you look at it, if it's your kid or your spouse, whatever it may be, and you say, they got it, you're already putting a division up. When you go through something, you go through it together. But Lisa's one of the strongest people I know. Sometimes it's just, anybody that knows anything about depression, it's just hard for her to even to exist. And it affects me, and it affects her, and it affects Grant. But we deal with it together. And she'll tell you, and there's times that I've been to this point that I say, God, why? We could have had more children. Our lives could have been a whole lot better. But then I realize that's just me thinking, me talking. And after studying this, I realized that I'm able to be here today in front of you and to have the privilege to have studied the Word of God and be able to preach tonight because of my relationship with Him, because of that. I have found joy in that test. Because of one reason. It's brought me closer to God. And whatever you may be dealing with tonight, I don't know. I've got to meet a lot of you through the course of my time here at church, and I love you. I appreciate you. And I know that there's other people going through stuff too. And like I said earlier, we all are. We all got something. We all got that test that's in our life. And it's a whole lot easier for me to stand before you and say, we're supposed to count it all joy. But when we're going through something, it's a little tough to swallow. Just like that lemon juice. I needed to add some stuff to it. And it's that faith in God that worketh, the patience, the wait on God for His will to be done, and to have that understanding, that wisdom that only He can give us. Let us pray. God, I pray that You just please be with us, dear Lord, as we leave tonight. That You have these things that were said, dear Lord, these things that were done. I pray that they just bring honor and glory to You. Lord, I pray for every individual that's in the congregation tonight, Lord. I know that we all have something going on, Lord. Lord, You know those needs, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we all get to a point where we just simply know that You are God and that You are in control of these things. Lord, help us to take these tests and find the faith that is required, that strong faith that helps make that patience that we so desperately need, dear Lord, that we can wait on You for Thy will to be done. And Lord, we pray for the wisdom that only You can give us to understand these things better, more clearly. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.